Now you know what my gift is and what my gift is not. And trust me, that is, hey, we're indebted to Gene and Sam and Logan last week, aren't we? Great teaching. Now listen, I don't want you to forget something, parents, because you had homework. And I don't want us to forget that. If you need some reminders of that, let us know. We'll get you there. But I tell you, just what a great way to close that whole series, wasn't it? Just as a reminder and an update, but also so much insight from that research and what it tells us. It's just such a powerful time. You know what? Today, we're going to talk about some of the characters in the birth of Christ, one of those being Joseph. And there's a phrase that we use when we're talking about Joseph today, and it's called unacceptable. I love Matthew's introductory clause, if you will, to the passage of Scripture that introduces you and me to the birth of Jesus. And this is his phrase. And this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. It's so clear. It's so concise in its meaning. And yet, I promise you, as you and I read the Gospels, I want you to know that the birth of Jesus, was anything but normal. It was filled with dysfunctional dynamics, difficult times, difficult moments. And I promise you, the person and dilemma of Joseph fits this bill. Listen to Matthew's words in verses 18 and 19, and let's just see if you don't agree. And this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just be honest, that's more than a hiccup. And Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. You see, here we find Joseph having to deal with what we might call the unacceptable. I mean, honestly, Joseph discovers that Mary is about 4 months along in her pregnancy. She's just returned from spending 3 months with her relative Elizabeth. And please trust this, the proverbial cat was out of the bag. After hearing about Mary's predicament, unacceptable was the only word that Joseph's family and friends could come up with. Some of them, in a more crude way, would just say, Joseph, you need to dump her. Get past this and move on, because it's totally, Joseph, it's totally unacceptable. I want you to understand something. The law in this time gave Joseph two options to deal with this. First, he was legally responsible to divorce her. Now, it's totally different today when an engagement, but a betrothal in that time was literally a legally binding thing. And here, he was responsible because of the situation. The law required him to divorce her. Second, he can make it public, and he could have her stoned to death. But Joseph chooses to handle this matter, the unacceptable matter. He chooses to handle it in such a discreet manner. A quiet divorce seemed to be the prudent and caring thing to do. This would keep Mary from public disgrace. I mean, honestly, we get a glimpse of the character and integrity of Joseph just in these few phrases. We get a glimpse of the compassion that undergirded this man and even the decisions he used and the traits he used to deal with what we might call the unacceptable. I love where the text states, but after Joseph had considered this, I want you to know Joseph is processing through all of this. I mean, let's be honest, this has been dumped in his lap. This is one of those life-changing moments. This is one of those difficult moments. Any of you ever had to wade through something like this? I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. He's processing through. He's processing through the people that he loves and he trusts. And trust me, they're hurt too. He's processing through the biases of his upbringing. All of these come together and he begins to determine how he's going to respond to this, if you will, difficult and unimaginable situation. Joseph was processing through this. In his mind, he had already decided what he was going to do. But even, please hear me, because this is this critical phrase, even in the midst of the unacceptable, God intentionally does something. God intercedes on behalf of the unacceptable. And as he considered this, verse 20 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid, is the word. The word translated means with great fear. Do not be overcome with great fear to take Mary as your wife. For Joseph, the child within her, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son. And you, Joseph, are to name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. For he will, Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. I mean, honestly, friends, with this simple exchange, a part, if you will, of the underlying story of the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus is revealed. And with one exchange, we find that God would not cast aside what Joseph and others thought to be unacceptable, thought to be tarnished, so tainted that it would not do. Instead, what God does is He takes the unacceptable, covers it by the power of His Holy Spirit, and in essence, He brings about through this the salvation of the world. In fact, this would become one of the bylines that would absolutely define the life of Jesus. Jesus intervenes on behalf of the unacceptable. Think about it, friends. Think about it for a moment. Because this story has so many analogies, it has so many tentacles wrapped up in mine in your personal story of coming to faith. First, I want you to know when God first finds us, we are in an unacceptable state. We are sinful. We're broken. We're lost. We're beaten up. And then for some of us, there are moments where we're just generally on the outs with God and out of sorts with others. In many cases, we even see ourselves. We view ourselves as unacceptable, unlovely, such a damaged and broken place, we wonder how anyone could care for us. And our friends, we see story after story like this in the Bible, don't we? The Samaritan woman at the well, married so many times she had a hard time remembering her previous husband's names. The person she's living with now is not her husband. So disgraced, so broken, so damaged is she that she doesn't even show up at the well with the other people, the other women. She's been through that. She's had enough of that. She knows that brokenness. Now she comes at 12 noon because nobody will be there. But who's there? Who's there in the heat of the day? Jesus. Jesus came to redeem the unacceptable. It's our story. I love it when Isaiah in Isaiah 6 meets God face to face, and this is all he can say. He said, it's over. I'm doomed. I'm such a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. And all God does is redeem this sinful, filthy man to touch a nation. Oh my goodness. When you think about the woman caught in adultery, and Jesus literally saves her life by intervening, by stepping forward and stepping up for her. When we think of the demoniac who's so emotionally and socially broken that the Bible tells us that he lives this isolated life, literally in a cemetery, where it says that he is howling and cutting himself. See, we think cutting is something that's current. Cutting began years and centuries ago. When damaged folks, hurting folks, find another way to hurt themselves because they think it will give them some repentance, some redemption. And yet here is where we find Jesus with the most unacceptable person in his whole community. And all he does is gives him and redeems his life. Amazing, isn't it? That Jesus uses the broken and the unacceptable prove the acceptability of the grace and mercy of God the Father. I want to tell you, so many times when you and I first come to God, for some of us there is this sense of such a lostness, such a brokenness, And in so many ways, we focus so much on our shortcomings that we wonder, how with all these things can a God redeem us? Can a God even care enough to redeem us? And yet God, in this crazy, unending, amazing love for us, He doesn't see us that way. In fact, God sent His Son Jesus to stand in the place of the unacceptable and its unacceptable people, just like you and me. How does Isaiah define it? Surely Jesus took up our pain and bore our suffering. And we considered Him punished by God, stricken by God, afflicted. But here's what we need to know. But He was pierced for our transgressions, for our unacceptable ones. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And notice what it says. And by His wounds we are healed. Listen, by His wounds the unacceptable are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, what? The iniquity of us all. Please, please hear me. God desires to graciously and divinely intervene in each life in this room. And He does so not because we are acceptable. He does it because His love for us is that great. He came to reconcile and redeem those who are separated from Him. He came for you and me. It is the story of the birth of Christ, as Matthew tells it. And yet I want you to notice something. I want to transition here for just a moment, because I want us to note the steps that Joseph had to take to experience that kind of reconciliation, not only with Mary, but with God Himself. The first thing, Joseph had to leave behind his fears and his preconceived notions. Listen to how Matthew states it. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And notice what he first says. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not let the fears of those other things keep you from taking Mary as your wife. All the fears of what people will say, all the fears of what people will think, all the things that you know you're going to have to leave behind. You know the cost of this. Because I want you to know something, friends. For Joseph to say yes to this, it took great courage and great strength, because there were going to be great consequences from it. There were going to be great stigmas from it. He was marrying the tainted woman that would literally define his life. And the angel says, Joseph, one of the things you're going to have to do is get over your fears of what other people think and the stigma you think you're going to own with this. I want to tell you something. For some of us, if we are honest, if we are absolutely honest, those are the things, those same consequences of what other people think, those same stigmas. We wonder what people will think if we become a Christian. Are they going to think we're too good to be around? Are they going to think we're not able to be friends anymore? And I want you to know, for so many of us, it hinders our decision to say yes to Jesus. Because we care more about what other people think than we do being made right with God. In the same way, to answer God's call, Joseph had to move past his fear and his misconceived notions. Second, Joseph had to trust God to do the impossible. Notice what it says, for the child within her, Joseph, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to know this is such a critical part of the story. There are moments in our lives, let's be honest, there are lives when God is really coming to us, speaking to us, calling to us, and in all different venues and aspects of our lives, there are points in our lives when you and I have to ultimately believe and we have to respond in simple faith that God can do what is beyond us. In this situation, let's be honest, if anything was ever true, this was true. I mean, imagine what the people would say when you tell them, no, I promise you, the baby's conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's what you want to sit around the family table and tell them. But do you understand how important this is for the salvation of the world? This crazy notion this miracle of births? Do you understand that Jesus coming to earth as incarnate, fully God, but also fully blameless, without sin, without the notion that all of us have that capacity? Only Jesus could do this. Only Jesus could pay the price on the cross for mine and your forgiveness and redemption. What does 1 Timothy say? For there is one God, and there's one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. And Timothy and Paul just simply says in 1 Timothy, it is the man, Christ Jesus. But I want to tell you something, friends. That man only had his birth. That man only had that moment because Joseph was willing to trust God to do what he couldn't do. For us, it's the same. There is only one way, my friends, that you and I can be made right with God. There is a moment. There is a moment where we must take a step of faith to acknowledge that only God can do what must be done to redeem us of our brokenness and forgive us of our sins. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace we have been saved. And what does he say? Through faith. And this is not from ourselves. This is the gift of God. It is our step of faith that brings us to Christ and a belief that he can redeem us and heal us and bring something whole from our brokenness. You see, at some point, you and I must step towards faith and to receive that gift of redemption. And third, Joseph had to believe that God's plan was bigger than his plan for himself. Notice what he says in verses 21 and 23. And Joseph, she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Now notice what Matthew does, because Matthew is going back. Matthew's intent in writing his gospel has an underlying framework, and it is to let the Jewish people know that Jesus fulfills every measure of the prophetic notion of the Messiah. He goes back to Isaiah 14 and he says, Joseph, this is what you need to know. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, he's telling Joseph, I want you to know, Joseph, you're planning a marriage. God's planning the redemption of the world. There's something bigger at stake here, Joseph. I want you to know, when you and I see the future, so many times we only see ourselves, but when God sees the future, God thinks about the redemption of mankind. And when God sees you and me, he sees us as being a part of that greater plan of how he can use us, place us, speak through us to expand his kingdom. I mean, honestly, when he gives the quote, when the angel shares of Isaiah 7:14, he's telling Joseph that even 700 years before this day, Joseph, God began pointing all of history towards the notion of his son, Emmanuel, God with us. And then as you and I move forward in the New Testament, and in congruence, if you will, with the birth of Jesus, John 1:14 defines and describes the birth of Christ in this way. Notice what he says, and the Word, Jesus, became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. This is the Shekinah glory of God. He wants you to know that when you see Jesus, you have seen God. It is the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. And notice what he says, full of grace and full of truth. My friends, the underlying theme of God's plan, God's greater plan, for every life represented in this place is to bring us to the redeeming nature and wholeness of his Son. Please hear me when I say this. Jesus is the intent of God's plan for you and me. And in here we find over and over the underlying sense of Emmanuel, God with us, and of John 14 saying the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The over, overarching intent of the story of the birth of Jesus is for you and me to recognize that God loved us so much, He came to us in our brokenness, in our unacceptability. You see, Joseph became God's intervention for Mary. And the reality of it is, somewhere along the line, you and I can be the intervention for someone else. Listen to his obedience. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. I love that phrase. And when Joseph woke up, he didn't ponder it for another week. He didn't process it another week. This moment was so powerful in his life, it just says when he woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. Now, I want you to know what he did. At that moment of obedience, he took the unacceptable and made it acceptable. And it says, and he did not have sexual relations with her until the son was born. And notice what he says, and Joseph named him Jesus. My friends, have you ever been in an unacceptable position and had to make difficult choices? You know, I was engaged to a girl before I met Ellen. She does know this. And we are so happy that she does. And I remember the night that I broke this engagement off. Because I want to tell you what. God put a call on my life to go into the ministry. I've shared that with you. But I knew after that moment that we were different in this way. Wonderful, wonderful young woman. Wonderful family. But we weren't in sync in this way. And I remember stopping by my pastor's house that night. And I asked him if he would pray with me because of what I had to do that night. I knew it was going to cause great hurt and great pain to someone that I cared deeply for. And so that night, we went and I had to deal with what was unacceptable. Because you know what? I want to tell you something. There are some things you can compromise on, but would you do me a favor? Don't ever compromise on who you marry. And that night I did that. And now when I look back on that night and the hurt, the uncomfortableness, the difficulty of it, when I look on what God has provided for me, I'd do it a million times. I want to tell you something. You and I will never know the fulfillment of God's greater plan and will until we are willing to deal with the unacceptable in our lives so that He can cover it with His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit and allow His plan to happen. But sometimes we have to deal with the unacceptable. I love the way Max Lucado says it. He said, Joseph was perched firmly on his branch in the tree. It was a thick, reliable, perfect for sitting. It was so strong, he didn't tremble when the storms came, nor did he shake when the winds blew. That's a pretty good place, isn't it? But it may not be God's place. No, this branch was predictable and solid, and Joseph had no intention of leaving it. That is until he was told by the Lord to go out on another limb. And common sense told him not to go. Conceived by the Holy Spirit? Oh, come on. Self-defense told him not to do it. Who will believe me? What will our family think? What will my friends say? Convenience told him not to do it. Just when I was hoping to settle down and raise a family. But God told him to do it. And that's what bothered him the most. You see, sometimes I have a feeling that some of us can relate to Joseph more than we even will pronounce today. We know how he feels, don't we? In fact, some of us have been there. Some of us have been there. We're smiling inside ourselves today because We too have been called to go out on a limb. We too know God is knocking on the door of our hearts. We too know that where we're sitting is not exactly where God needs us to sit. You know the imbalance, friends, of having one foot in your own will and trying to put another foot in God's will. We've all sunk our fingernails into the bark of the tree to get a better grip. We know the butterflies that swarm and hit our stomach when we realize that change needs to happen, but we're not comfortable there. But eventually, like today, we're sitting at a difficult place and a hard choice. Will it be God's will or will it be mine? You see, this was a defining moment in God's redemption plan. And for it to be unleashed to the world, Joseph had to choose God. And it is the same for us. I mean, honestly, you ever been called to go out on a limb for God? You can bet it won't be easy. Ask Joseph. Or better yet, why don't you ask Jesus? Because Jesus knows better than anyone the obedience it takes to hang on a tree. Please hear me say something. Unacceptable is not found in God's vocabulary when it comes to you and me coming to Him. If anything, the marriage of Mary and Joseph displays that to us. It makes it so crystal clear how much God is willing to intervene on our behalves. Everything that appears to be unacceptable from a human sense, God says to Himself, I can cover that. My grace will cover it. I can forgive that. I can move you past that. I can bring about redemption through that. His mercy transcends our unacceptableness. It transcends our brokenness, our sinfulness, and His grace covers it all. Please hear me. Unacceptable is not acceptable in God's sight when He sees you today. But just like Joseph, friends, just like Joseph, the choice of choosing our way or God's way is ours to make. I know I'm praying this morning. I've been praying all week. That you will say yes to God. Yes to His forgiveness. Yes to His undeserved grace. Yes to opening and inviting Him into your heart. Because I promise you this. This is a truth that this story gives us. That is the only way that unacceptable can become acceptable in His sight. I'm going to close with a prayer today. And at first, I'm going to ask you to remain seated. But if any moment during this prayer, it touches your heart, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to respond just to how God has nudged your heart. I don't know how that is. But I'm going to ask that. Then at the close of it, I'll ask us all to stand and for us to worship the Lord together in celebration of His acceptance. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this day, some of us languishing over our fears and reservations about how to approach a God we've walked away from. Or how to gather a faith back that we have squandered away. Some of it through our mistakes. Some of it from old hurts from the past that we won't let go of. And yet, like Joseph, in whatever form unacceptable we find ourselves, oh Jesus, we also find you. We find your unending love for us. We find your mercy that reaches even into the depths of our unacceptableness. And so, Lord, on this day, Lord, we choose not to walk away. Instead, we choose to lean into you and into your willingness to cover us, redeem us, and restore us to yourself. And like Joseph, God, we step out in faith today, a faith that moves us past our past and beyond our fears of what others might think or perceive. We, Lord, like Joseph, we've come this day to understand that your plan for us is bigger than us. And it's bigger than our self-centered consumption of this life. Today, Lord Jesus, today, we invite you into our hearts. We ask that you clean out the clutter that misconceived notions and misunderstandings of you have caused. Jesus, today, we ask that your forgiveness and grace makes us right with you. And Holy Spirit, we ask today that you take up residence in our hearts. For today, Lord, is a day of new beginnings and a fresh start with you and our faith. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for always intervening on behalf of the unacceptable, for intervening for me. Amen and amen. Let's stand and worship and thank the Lord, shall we?